Hello.
I'm Emma.
I'm Shannon.
And welcome to This Podcast Doesn't Exist.
I'm back.
She's back, you guys. Well, you were back last week.
Oh, that's true.
We did a little bit of podcast magic for you guys. We recorded our last two episodes out of order, I guess. So like the Holland episode on folklore was recorded before Professor Chris came in, or I guess zoomed in to talk to us. So
yeah, because we had a sleepover and then I had to go home to my kitty cats.
Yeah, the babies needed some lovin's. Ugh, I love those babies. Did you know Shannon got a second cat?
Surprise!
Fitzy's a good boy. He's such a snuggle bug.
He's a Velcro cat.
He very much like wants to be on you at all times. I think maybe he's just cold all the time. Like he loves you, but no, maybe he's also just cold all the time.
That's the thing. In the morning, he doesn't snuggle. He, like, can't settle. Like, aww, he doesn't.
He's just excited.
Yeah, I'm like, dude.
Oh, my God, you're awake.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm smelling pain.
And you'd think it's food, but it's not necessarily food.
Which you should just love.
Sometimes it's food. Like, I'll make their breakfast, and they'll both be like, but sometimes it's not. And I'm just like, bro. But, you know, like, today it worked in my favor. I was able to stay on the schedule I anticipated for myself, which I, if I had woken up at the time my alarm was set for, would not have been the case.
Yeah. And then you got stuck at your computer because he decided to be snuggly.
Yeah, the last part of my notes I had to type one-handed because I was holding him. And if I moved my arm, he would have fallen off the desk. He's so... I love him, but he is classic orange cat. Like, he's
super clumsy.
Dumb. Oh. Like, I'm typing this morning, doing my research, doing my stuff, and they both, because I have radiators in my apartment and I don't have anything on them because I don't want the heat to mess with it, so they've both taken to like lounging on the radiators. Cute. Which is great. Millie does it. She's just chilling. Mm-hmm. She's
a good
a
little
time.
Girl.
I'm just typing and I can't really see, but I just hear
oh buddy.
I think he must have like been going to stretch and then just like rolled over.
Oh my goodness.
He's fine.
That's a good combo.
At least once a day.
It's a good combo though to have a dumb sweet cat.
Yeah.
Cuz can you imagine if he was dumb and like mean? Like you'd be like, "Well, I guess this is how you live your life."
Yeah.
I can give you no comfort.
But I just like I looked at him and I was like, "There's no way you would have survived on the streets." Like, he'll go to try and jump onto the cat tree and he'll, like, misjudge the distance and be like,
oh, buddy.
I'm like, even though Millie is technically younger, in my head, she's still the older sister.
Yeah.
Because she's smarter and she's been there longer. And she just has this air of watching him being like, you absolute moron. Like, he's Ron Weasley and she's Hermione Granger.
Oh.
To date myself with a problematic millennial reference. If you want more problematic references, you can check our website.
What?
ThisPodcastDoesn'tExist.com. For all of our backlog of episodes. I'm not saying we're intentionally problematic.
Oh, no.
But we talk about stuff that, like, could be cringe or could be, like...
A lot of the stuff we talk about is cringe.
You know, but, like, it's one of those things. You express love for an artist and then in, like, 5 years from now, they could have, you know...
Murdered somebody.
Gone the route of Kanye or something. Like... Mm. I saw a TikTok last night. I guess he sampled one of Ozzy Osbourne's songs.
Oh.
Even though when he asked if he could, Sharon said, no, you anti-Semitic.
Good.
Beep. Don't. N-O. Like, no. And then he went and did it anyway. And the person that was making the TikTok was like, there are two rules in the music industry. One, don't sample somebody's music without permission. Because if you do and you get caught, their label's going to come through and sue you. And then they will be making the royalties off that song for the rest of forever. And two, don't fuck with Sharon Osbourne.
No.
And apparently he sampled the song anyway and whatever.
I'm sure legal stuff is happening now.
Oh, yeah.
But like. She's like, Sharon
she's
Osbourne.
Like, don't eat. I'm not in the music industry and I know that. So what did you think was going to happen? Like, you're already complaining you can't get venues to like put on concerts for you. What do you think is going to happen now? Boy, when she's done with you, she's going to be wearing your $1 million grill as a necklace. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh.
Anyway,
we love Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne.
I guess we do.
that also problematic. Anyway, moving on. Hopefully what we talk about today is not problematic. I had a great time.
Wait, but we didn't finish telling them about the website.
Oh, yes. Please go to the website. So well, because I was concerned. I wanted to make sure that if we needed to apologize, that we did.
I mean, I'm sure we've said something at some point, but we're open to feedback here.
Yeah.
And you should send us an email, which you can do on our website, thispodcastdoesn'texist.com.
.com.
You can also slide into our Instagram DMs or other things. And
if you got a meme, send it.
Sure.
It'll probably be posted on our Meme Mondays.
Yep.
Because we love to see what you've got crack-a-lackin' in that creative brain of yours.
Okay, Grandpa.
Crank a lacking.
Anyway, yeah, you can find all of our stuff there. Episodes, transcripts, social media, all that jazz. Okay, yeah. So you had a fun time.
I did have a fun time. I had a fun time researching this one. I didn't anticipate going as deep as I did, so I'm happy to have. What? She looked at me funny.
That's what he said.
Oh, wow.
It was right there. How could I not?
That's what she said. Anyway, today, friends, we are going to talk about the Flatwoods Monster. Any inklings? Nope. All right. Well, it's known by many names, so maybe one of these will jig a memory or something. The Green Monster, the Braxton County Monster, the Phantom of Flatwoods, the Flatwoods Monster, which we've already discussed, Braxy, short for Braxton County Monster.
Great.
Which is a much more recent development, apparently.
Just runs around jumping at pregnant women so they get Braxton Hicks and think they're going into labor.
It, like the Ahul, it goes, Braxy! Pregnant women going, ah!
No, I'm just... Forget Vanderpump Rules. Braxy is going to star in Chicago the Musical.
And name on everybody's lips is going to be Braxy.
All right. Well, whatever you call it. There is a question of whether it really did drop from the sky and terrify the population of a little village in Appalachia. So we're back in West Virginia, my friends, because thank you for setting the scene. Where else are we going to find such good stories like this? As we discussed last week on our folklore episode, some deep folklore here. So in Braxton County, West Virginia, on the evening of Friday, September 12th, 1952, brothers Edward, 13, and Fred, 12, were playing football outside with their 10-year-old friend Tommy until the sun went down. Suddenly, a pulsing red light sailed across the sky and crashed in a nearby farmer's field. The boys took off to find Mrs. Kathleen May, the brother's mom, to help them scout out what it was. A few other boys, including 17-year-old National Guard member Gene Lemon and the boy's dog Ricky, joined them and crested that hill to the field, only to run back down in horror. I love the fact that the dog's name is Ricky. Just putting that out there. When the party notified the police, officials were skeptical of the report, but a newspaper at the time detailed their account. One of the children, 14-year-old Neil Nunley, said that when they reached the top of the hill, they saw a pulsing red light in the field that looked like the light the three boys had seen shooting across the sky. Gene Lemon, which I just love his name, Gene Lemon shone his flashlight across the copse lining the field and, quote, saw what appeared to be a pair of bright eyes in a tree. At first he thought it was an opossum or a raccoon, but when he shone his flashlight on it, he saw a 10-foot monster with a blood-red face and a green body that seemed to glow. Kathleen said Lemon let out a terrified scream and fell over backwards. She said the monster started toward them with a bounding motion. End quote. Shannon's shaking her head. She does not like this. All of the kids and Kathleen agreed that there was also an overpowering smell that burned the back of their throats and their noses and made a few of them sick. Several of them threw up when they returned home, and a few even fainted. Mm. In true West Virginia fashion, A. Lee Stewart and several other men returned to the spot with Gene Lemon about half an hour later to investigate more thoroughly. They had shotguns. They said the sickening smell was still there, but there were also, quote, slight heat waves in the air, end quote.
Did they say what the smell was?
It was like acrid, like it smelled like eggs, like sulfur, but like intense.
Gross.
Yeah. But there was no sign of the creature when they reached the hill.
Of course not.
No, of course not. Stewart later said, quote, those people were the most scared people I'd ever seen. People don't make up that kind of story that quickly, end quote. The police also conducted their own search and found no trace of the incident that night. The next day, however, Stewart went again to look in the daylight and found two long tracks in the mud and traces of thick black liquid. UFO enthusiasts immediately saw this as evidence of a saucer landing, since this wasn't a place for any normal local traffic at all. Middle of a field.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why is there stuff there?
It was the DeLorean. It just like materialized and like left some tracks and then dematerialized.
I do want to see that musical.
I've heard it's not very good.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's sad. Because it's coming to the Kennedy Center.
I know. Strunk went to see it.
I trust her.
Yeah. She was like, the effects were cool, but like the book was weak. And because me and Marissa and Holland were thinking about going. And then Holland like forwarded it to be like, oh, the tickets are on sale. And I was like, I heard it's not very good. So we're not going to go.
Okay.
We're going to go to Mamma Mia though, when it comes to the Kennedy Center.
Let me know. I'd like to come.
Okay.
Yay. So, when asked for details of what the creature looked like, Kathleen May and Gene Lemon said it had, quote, the shape of a man, a blood red face, bright green body, protruding eyes, and hands extended forward and appeared to give off an eerie light.
It's just Vision in his old school costume.
Whoa, 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 whoa. This little green thing on his
10
head.
10 feet tall. The gem is yellow, just to...
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, just to make sure we have that on the record.
Fandom reference for anybody who's playing the bingo card?
Because Doctor Strange has the green one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time. Yeah. Stone. Anyway.
Anyway. They also said the creature was floating and had a black shield-looking thing behind its head in the shape of an ace of spades, as well as a pleated metallic skirt. She's fashion, baby. She's fashion.
How oddly specific.
And the runway is...
intergalactic realness. Hold on, wait, no. I'm trying to think of a better...
You're like, wait, no. Intergalactic realness isn't enough.
There has to be that flat wood. There's a dick joke in there somewhere. No, it's not flat.
It could be a ball.
It's a ball, baby. Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll think about it.
Okay.
Anyway, Kathleen did not agree that this was a fashion moment. She said, quote, it looked worse than Frankenstein.
Oh.
End quote.
That's rude.
But like, imagine this at Paris Fashion Week. You've got like a metallic skirt, bright green. You've got this big like spade thing behind your head and like broad shoulders and like you're glowing baby. I'm Austin Powers.
You're phosphorescent.
good. All right.
You know what makes a joke even funnier? Well, we pause to grade it after.
But we do it every time.
Because we're so funny. Guys, I don't know if you knew this, but we're so funny.
Well, other than the smell, they said it also emitted a shrieking sound, which was only mentioned after the initial incident report. So I'm not sure where that came into the conversation. But prolific UFO writer and West Virginia native Gray Barker conducted tape-recorded interviews with the six boys and Kathleen, printing an article in Fate magazine all about it. The details grew, with the figure having, quote, small claw-like hands, end quote, and now 12 feet tall. He later interviewed them all again for the first issue of his own magazine, The Saucerian, which sounds like a iconic dish. It sounds like a cookbook. He asked three of the boys to draw a picture of what they saw, and their drawings of the monster were essentially the same. Round, small head, wide body, and a rounded, pointy headdress. Gray also wrote that the government got involved, first in an official capacity, as the Air Force came to see the supposed crash site, finding nothing, and then in a more unofficial way. Apparently, some men, dressed in black, went to the May family home posing as newspapermen and asked about the incident. When they finally revealed themselves as government officials, they also asked to take Kathleen's dress from the night of the incident, since she got some oil on it, saying they would return it. They never did.
No.
Allegedly. While Kathleen May and Jean Lemon were asked to go on CBS to talk about their experience in 1952, they were not the only ones to encounter the creature. A few weeks or so before the September 12th incident, Mrs. Audra Harper was walking 5 miles north of Flatwoods to a shop in the town of Heaters with her friend. They decided to take a shortcut through the forest. Bad move. Mm-mm. And about a half mile into their journey, both saw what looked like a ball of fire on one of the hills they were passing.
Hmm.
Audra brushed it off as neighbors burning something in their field. However, when she glanced back to the hill again, the fire was gone, and in its place was the dark silhouette of something tall and humanoid.
Nope.
From there, Audra and her friend bolted, not looking back until they made it to town, which, correct move.
Yeah.
First, bad move, making a shortcut through the forest. Correct yeah. move, running as fast as you can.
Yeah.
A week before the reported incident, a local Flatwoods mother and her 21-year-old daughter had their own encounter and noted a smell. The encounter affected the daughter badly enough that she was hospitalized for 3 weeks. But there was no other details about this incident.
Oh.
The mother of Jean Lemon, though, reported that her house shook violently at the approximate time of the crash and her radio cut out for 45 minutes.
Ugh.
Which I can imagine, you're sitting there after dinner, like, you know, listening to your radio show, and then all of a sudden you're like, what? House shakes, that goes off. You're like, wait a second, what? Your kid leaves. Bye, Mom. I'm going to go see what that was. Comes back, terrified. Like, I can't listen to my radio show.
Just trying to listen to my program.
My stories. A local Board of Education member claimed to have seen a flying saucer take off at 6:30 the morning of September 13th, the morning after the boy's sighting. So, you know, just locking up his house, turns around, sees a UFO just take off into the early morning light. All right, good.
Yep.
Have a good day. The night of the 13th, 20 miles south of Flatwoods, George and Edith Sintowski were driving with their 18-month-old son between Clay and Braxton County. The trip was cut short when the car just died on Route 4.
Mm-mm.
They tried to restart it, but the engine wouldn't turn over. With no one else on the road that late at night, the couple sat in their dead car trying to figure out what to do. Suddenly, a sulfur-like smell filled the car, and the baby started to cry as a bright light lit the darkness ahead of them. It was coming from a 10-foot-tall creature, awfully similar to the monster the boys had just seen the night before. However, this time, the creature had no spade-shaped hood and showed its reptilian bony face.
Mm?
Benedict Cumberbatch who?
Mm?
After dragging its hand across the hood of the car, it drifted away into the woods. Terrified, George tried the ignition again, and the car miraculously started.
Oh.
They sped away home in silence. So, thank you, Dr. Strange? Because, like, the spade-shaped hood, that's the cape.
Uh-huh.
Right? Reptilian face, Benedict Cumberbatch, tiny glowy, glowy. Hands. He's floating. Like, it's Doctor Strange, you guys.
That's KP!
KP's here.
We love KP. The best part, KP and Wong are the only good things about those movies.
I love Wong. Doctor Strange is my least favorite of all the Marvel movies. Both of them.
Even worse than Thor 2 Dark World.
I barely remembered that movie until you just said it out loud.
Exactly.
I don't count that because it's nothing to me.
You're like, I've stricken it from the record.
Yep, it's fine. We don't need to talk about it.
Okay.
Of course, over the years, the legend of the Flatwoods Monster has developed. Some say that it was actually 17 feet tall. Others that the smell was accompanied by a mist that made the creature stand out even more from the trees with the light it emitted.
Dramatic.
Yes. Some even claim that the illness that overcame anyone who encountered it up close took the dog that had gone to investigate with the May family and their friends. This was not corroborated by anything. Absolutely. So I choose not to believe that. Correct. None of this is verified in any major sources of the day. I made sure to write that down so that we could be clear that no dogs were harmed in the course of this research.
Good.
The town of Flatwoods, quite like its sister, Point Pleasant, enjoys the mystery of its creature to this day. Officials in the town erected a welcome sign as you enter Flatwoods that reads, "Home of the Green Monster," and commemorate the legend every year at the Flatwoods Days Festival. The county had a series of 5 10-foot-tall chairs built in the shape of the monster that are both landmarks and attractions. If you sit in all 5 chairs, the county will give you a reward of stickers that say "Free Braxy." And I want to go do it.
Great. We'll pack a step stool.
Yep. Well, they have stairs into the chair.
I see.
It's like they're just like these huge throne-looking things.
I see.
In the shape and color of the Flatwoods Monster.
I really hope that they have like a stilt walker at the festival.
Oh my God, that
dressed up as a drag queen on stilts, like Crystal Method.
Oh my gosh.
Was it Crystal Method that did stilts?
I don't remember.
Ivy Winters.
That's who it was.
Butterfly Wings. All came back to me.
All coming back to me now.
So there's also an ice cream shop called The Spot where you can take your picture with a mural of the monster and put your head in the hole to be part of the scene. Mm. It's one of those, you know. It's very cute. Very 1950s sci-fi looking. There is, too, the Flatwoods Monster Museum in Sutton, West Virginia, the Braxton County seat. Filled with memorabilia of the incident and the other sightings from 1952, as well as iterations of the creature in multiple mediums, it's hard not to love a town so dedicated to their claim to fame. Like any good Appalachian legend, the monster is immortalized in music. It was featured in the 2013 song The Being by West Virginian rock singer Argyle Goolsbee. Great name. And punk band Captain Catfish's song, The Phantom of Flatwoods. Captain Catfish's. C-A-T-F-E-E-S-H.
I see. I was like, ma'am?
Colby White, a band member of Captain Catfish, believes the creature was harmless. Quote, "Here comes a bunch of kids, a woman shining a flashlight in this creature's eyes. Next thing he knows, he's getting blinded and freaks out and starts vibrating and basically throws up some weird oil. So I think they startled him. That's my theory. I think they startled the Flatwoods Monster." End quote.
It's just like, I'm having craft trouble, so I'm going to land. And then like, oh, God. Who is that? What?
I enjoy the visual of this thing just like essentially short circuiting. And then the humans are screaming and it's screaming. And then it farts and it can't deal with it. And then the humans start screaming more.
I like to think that Ricky the dog went on adventures with the Flatwood Monster.
He just hopped in.
Yeah.
He hopped in the craft and was like, "All right, buddy, I can deal with the smell. Let's go.
Let's go."
I breathe in my mouth. It's fine. The monster also has a huge Japanese following.
Oh.
Andrew Smith, the executive director of Braxton County Visitors Center, really the Flatwoods Monsters Museum, says he thinks the Japanese interest started between the 60s and 80s. Some older Japanese video games feature the monster, and figurines were made from those characters. In an effort to use this to his advantage, Andrew started running online ads for Braxton County in Japanese. And it worked.
Huh.
A Japanese woman came into the museum in 2018 after seeing an ad and recognizing the creature as the character she had seen from all of her childhood games. Quote, "She had seen this drawing her whole life, but she had no idea it was based in America or even West Virginia. But learning that it was, she did this deep dive into West Virginia, end quote.
I love it.
I do like the idea of a, you know, someone from Japan sitting on their computer digging into Appalachia.
I like it.
It's probably just as interesting as someone from Appalachia digging into Japan, so. The creature is also in games like Fallout 76 and Everybody's Golf 4.
Cool.
Yep.
I love that one.
I know.
I'm a gamer.
Bing. The subject of a 2018 documentary called The Flatwoods Monster, A Legacy of Fear.
Oh.
I know. And a TV episode of Project Blue Book on the History Channel.
I thought you were about to say Project Runway, and I got really excited.
Well, perhaps the best pop culture moment for the Flatwoods Monster was in 2023, when Braxton County native and English teacher Amber Haddix showed off her Braxy-inspired gown at the Mrs. American competition.
Wow.
Representing West Virginia in the best way. So a little bit...
Is that,
Project Runway.
Is there a photo in
yes,
the
there is. She looks adorable. She looks a little Audrey too, if anyone else gets that reference. Sure. Little Shop of Horrors. She didn't win. She placed 15th, but who cares? Because she looks great.
You know, we'll take it.
It's honestly a great idea. Her sister-in-law was a seamstress, and she built her costume from the ground up.
Love it.
It's full sparkles, glamour. It's beautiful.
Is it in the museum now?
It should be. It's cute.
We'll have to go on the road trip and see.
We will.
I am trying to visit a new state this year.
Let's go to West Virginia, dude. It's so close.
Because I've driven
cheap Airbnbs
through West Virginia, but I haven't like been to
West
Virginia.
Mountain mama, take me home. Country roads. Let's go.
More like country roads.
This is a very blue episode.
It's fine. It's just an episode of Drag Race.
Oh, Cryptid Couture. That would be an incredible.
We got there. That's the category.
It's so good. Cryptid Couture.
What would be the other two if it were a ball?
Okay, so Cryptid Couture.
That can't be the one that they make themselves.
No. That'd be a lot. That is a lot of hair. It'd be like that one episode where they were given Night of a Thousand Madonnas and they all came out in the kimono.
Yeah.
They're all Bigfoot.
Amazing.
Cryptic Couture, I think Intergalactic Gala Realness or something like that. Still cute, still kind of like, you know, paranormal. Oh, it would have to be something ghosty.
Monster. Mash up something.
And then Zach Bagans is one of the judges. Can you imagine? Zach Bagans giving... I don't see this in you.
I just don't get what...
I don't see your personality in this. I want to see the real you. And you're showing me Bigfoot, but I'm not seeing Bigfoot. I'm not even seeing you. I see nothing in this. Show yourself! I have merged our two loves, and I'm so proud of myself. Shannon's drowning in tears.
Like the squawk.
I just want Zach Bagans. That's all I want now. Do you think if I had DM'd Michelle Visage, it would happen?
She's busy right now.
That's true. She is busy. Well, all right.
Didn't expect to cry this episode.
I didn't expect Zach Bagans to appear. So,
Zach Bagans.
That's the button we need.
Our soundboard is just the different cryptid noises.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Because
he's a Pokemon of himself.
Yeah.
Well, now I really want that. Zach Bagans judging Drag Race.
I know.
And telling queens to show themselves.
Show
yourself.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, let's dive into some theories. You ready?
Oh, sure.
Do you have any thoughts before we do?
No.
It kind of cleared you out like a palate cleanser for all of that. So there are a handful of theories thrown out about what really happened in that field in 1952. The first is that it was an alien encounter, which many enthusiasts at the time wholeheartedly believed. William and Donna Smith, who were part of the civilian saucer investigation,
amazing,
were the ones.
I hope they had badges.
Wow, oh, that's the patch I want on a t-shirt. Were the ones
a patch on a t-shirt?
That's not what I meant.
Okay.
What do you call that? Lapel?
Emblem?
Emblem. Thank you. Emblem I want on a t-shirt.
Like a logo.
Thank
on the
you.
Pocket area.
Correct.
Like a camp t-shirt. That's
correct.
What she
That's
wants.
What I want. Somebody make it. Somebody do it. I want it.
Sarah, with your cricket.
Please. So the civilian saucer investigation members were the ones who collected the accounts of the incidents involving the 21-year-old's hospitalization, Jean Lemon's mother, and the Board of Education member. They fully believed that the Mays and their friends had an encounter with an extraterrestrial after its craft crashed in their neighbor's field. Also, with the tracks and the oily residue left at the scene, it just reinforced their theory. Mm-hmm. This theory could also be supported by the other encounters, since it may well have been that the alien was staying close to the area at the time in an effort to investigate or maybe even fix its craft in an almost deserted section of countryside and just got unlucky and couldn't make it out for a couple of weeks. Its ability to restart the driving couple's car, its metallic and unusual appearance, even the sulfuric smell, maybe they didn't have deodorant on planet Dexon 89, just reinforces this kind of like otherworldly. Also, this is a theory of mine. I made up this backstory for it. But like with every UFO encounter story, there's always the context to consider. This was 1952. Sci-fi was becoming popular culture with the rise of the space age, and people were fascinated by what lay beyond the stars. Roswell, Sputnik, and the space race with Russia were all happening at the same time. They were also becoming scared by the creation of the atomic bomb and what would become of the Earth after its creation and use, especially when Russia started testing in 1949, 3 years before the encounter. The kids were learning how to hide under their desks in case of nuclear attack, so it was probably pretty foremost in their minds. These large jumps in science and leaps into what felt like the future probably made the majority of Americans pretty skeptical of anything weird they saw and didn't have any way of explaining it in any other way. At least in my head. I think likely they were going to be scared of anything that they saw that night.
Yeah. Well, and also this was monster movies, right?
Yeah. So the Dawn of the Monster movie, like Creature of the Black Lagoon and Godzilla and The Blob, all of that coming out. And it's the idea that fear can be entertaining, which is an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a dark night. That night on a supposedly misty hill by later accounts, and they were all very quickly talking to each other about what they had seen, potentially filling in the cracks around each memory until they formed a collective one. It's possible they didn't see the same thing, but rather their memories mixed to create something entirely new that they remembered, which is always possible in any sighting. Like, eyewitness accounts are extremely unreliable the majority of the time. So there is also the theory that the government was trying to cover up some kind of experimentation or weapons program, especially with the arrival of the Men in Black. But there's literally no documentation of this. The Men in Black was a off comment given by Gray Barker. It wasn't even something that I think it was something Kathleen said to him, like the fourth time he interviewed her. So it's just the compounded. What is true? What is available? Was she not able to say anything until that point? Like, any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Officials at the time, both police and Air Force, who investigated the claim, believed it to be hysteria from all members of the small party when the claims slightly shifted and blamed it on boredom and confusing anything for an extraterrestrial. Especially birds. Which is the next theory. Birds. It's always birds. It's always birds. That scary crane thing was Mothman, and now we have birds impersonating Marvin the Martian. Like, it's just birds. In 2000, Joe Nickel of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, which, again, these committees are just, like, being rattled off, and I love them. I want a little emblem t-shirt for all of them.
Put it on the merch.
Put it on the merch. So he said that the thing the group saw in the trees was likely a startled barn owl perched on a high tree limb, potentially with foliage beneath it, making the skirt that Kathleen claimed the creature was wearing. The small claw-like hands are obviously the talons, and the face of a barn owl is in the shape of an ace of spades, with its features centered within. It's more of like a heart shape, but it, like, on a heart shape on an upside-down triangle is essentially that. The sound of shrieking, the silhouette, all of it makes skeptics believe that the creature was really just a barn owl who didn't like flashlights. But what about the pulsing red light the boys saw sailing through the sky, and the light they saw on top of the hill? Well, the light was likely a meteor. Three states, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, all had a meteor sighting the night of September 12, 1952, but only the May boys had tried to find where it landed. Likely, the meteor, like most, burned up, entering Earth's atmosphere. Or it was an alien craft that everybody saw sailing through the sky and it landed in that field. You guys, you don't know. But what about the light on the hill? The pulsing red light was likely an aircraft navigation or homing beacon visible from the sightings in the area, letting aircraft know that hills were close or distance between each. Though it wasn't noted anywhere, a navigation light might have been in the field, attached to something. Hmm. Whether or not it was, we don't know. What about the illness they all ended up with? Well, officials excused that by saying hysteria and anxiety induced, with a dash of overexertion, though they never did have an explanation for the smell. Mm. And what about the tracks, the oily liquid? Well, this evidence is a bit more solid because local kid Max Lockard heard about the encounter the night it happened and decided to see the spot for himself. So he drove up the hill and into the field in his Chevy pickup truck and sat there in his car looking around, likely dripping oil. Mm. So just a silly, dumb local kid who decided, I want to see. And he did. And he didn't find anything. And then he left. Our last theory is, I think, the most fun. So remember Gray Barker, our ufologist friend, and his journal, The Saucerian? Well, included in the Gray Barker UFO collection at the Clarkson Harrison Public Library is a diagram of a theory that wasn't aliens, but children. There is a diagram, and I'll show you this in a second, on how the Flatwoods Monster could have been a hoax in what seems like the most complicated costuming I've ever seen. It's truly like avant-garde off-Broadway. In the diagram, there is a, quote, stinky blanket. All of these are labeled. Stinky blanket over a cross support that goes across to create shoulders and all the way up to make the iconic Ace of Spades head shape, with a circle for the face made out of a hollowed out pumpkin with a sulfur candle inside. All of this is being maneuvered by a, quote, bad kid, real monster, end quote, on planks of wood curved so he can glide, and a piece of string he uses to move the moldy old branches for hands from the inside. I have no idea who made this or who asked them to, but honestly, it's a great drawing and a wonderful thought experiment that I'm sure they had fun with. Here, let me see if I can show you. It's incredible.
Wow.
It's just, I just love the real kid or bad kid, real monster. The May brothers, Freddie and Edward, are now in their 70s and have become very tired of answering questions about their encounter.
They're over it.
Yeah, so they just don't anymore. But they have held fast in the past to their belief that something is out there. We just have to know what to look for.
Wah, 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 wah.
Show yourself.
I'm done.
And that is the story of the Flatwoods Monster.
Well done, well done.
Thank you. I also did find a road trip map through West Virginia to all of the cryptid spots. However, my next episode will be about the last of the three on this list.
Oh.
So get ready.
I'm ready.
And then we can go on that road trip.
Yeah, call it. Let's go.
The end point is Point Pleasant.
Obvi.
So... because that's the furthest out. But like, still, it's Point Pleasant. We gotta go. Their Mothman Festival this year is the third week of September.
Isn't it always?
Yes.
Because it's always your dad's birthday.
Oh, that's true. Yes. I don't remember what the dates are, but it is the third weekend of September. So I feel like if we did like a like, I don't know, 5-day road trip, we could figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
That'd be fun. But yeah, did you enjoy?
Yes, I enjoyed.
You enjoyed? My Flatwoods Monster?
I gotta go.
And with that, please remember,
this podcast
doesn't exist.
Hunty.
But you know what should? Zach Bagans being a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, please.
Show yourself.
Bye.
This episode was researched, co-produced, and edited by Emma Kiley. Co-produced and marketed by Shannon McCarthy. Our theme music was composed and performed by Tom Emsley-Smith. The mailbag theme music was composed by Liam Kiley.